In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Day was August 13th, 1903. It was a band concert in the main intersection of a small Midwestern town. It blocked off the streets. Nearly the entire town turned out for this concert. About 5,000 people were present. Of course, when you're in a small town in 1903 in August, there's not really much else to do. The band took an intermission. And at the time that the band took an intermission, a man by the name of Gilbert Twigg opened fire on the crowd. After 20 minutes of shooting, six people, including Twigg himself, were dead. This incident, which later became known as the Main Street Massacre, was America's first mass shooting. It happened on the intersection of 9th and Main in Winfield, Kansas, seven blocks from where I grew up. I have lost track of how many times I have stood in this pulpit and talked about the problem of gun violence in this country. In the last decade, the United States has had, on average, one mass shooting per day. We have had seven mass shootings since the one in Las Vegas. Mass shootings have become so common in our country that they are only reported when they are absolutely devastating. Now, last Sunday's shooting was the largest in recent history. We should also remember, of course, that there have been many in large ones in the past. There were the Tulsa race riots. There were several atrocities and massacres that happened during the Indian Wars. But in our contemporary context, we have a problem as a society. The level of violence in these incidents continues to escalate. And because of societal inaction, I suspect we are going to see another one that is yet even more horrific, with a larger death toll, followed by one even worse than that. I am almost certain that this will happen and that I will be up in this pulpit again preaching the same sermon. And every single time this happens, little to nothing is done. We follow the same pattern of events. There's a shooting. One side talks about gun laws, brings out international facts and figures. The other side says, hey, let's talk about mental health. A few folks say this isn't the time. Meanwhile, arms sales skyrocket out of fear. People forget it happened. Little or nothing is done, and the pattern repeats itself a few months down. Today we are faced with a very difficult parable in the gospel, the parable of the wicked tenants. This parable is told in the context of some of Jesus' last teachings. Jesus tells this parable in the temple to the scribes and Pharisees. Now, this happens after he has had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So you remember when he rode in Jerusalem on the donkey or the colt, depending on which gospel. He goes into, this is what we remember during Holy Week, Palm Sunday. He goes into the temple, he flips over the money changers' tables. You remember that story? This happens right after that, where he tells a series of teachings. And it's one of his last parables. And traditionally, we understand, we have a very traditional interpretation of this parable. In the parable, you have a landowner who builds a vineyard, puts a wall around it, puts up a watchtower, puts a wine press, does all the things you need to have a vineyard. Leaves the country, has tenants rent the land to work the land. And then when harvest time has come, they should have their money made from the profits of the land. So he sends a servant to collect the money And what do? They kill a servant, they beat another one up. So the landowner sends another servant. They kill that servant. Then the landowner sends a family member, his son, and they kill that family member. Traditionally, we understand this as Jesus explaining how corrupt institutions, particularly religious institutions, killed the prophets sent by God. God, who in this case is represented by the landowner. And then they are going to kill the son, kill Jesus, the landowner's son. And of course, in the end, this will not be looked upon favorably by God. And this alone, if we just look at it this way, it alone is a very important lesson for our day. We should be cautious of our deafness and blindness to God's calling, especially while trying to preserve our institutions. That is a very important message. When we look at the parables, we often, as we should, look at these underlying meanings. Those things that Jesus didn't say, but was telling through them. Now, that's the teaching found in them. But let's look at this parable itself, putting aside those other meanings for a second. Let's put ourselves in a different place. Let's put ourselves in the place of the landowner. Servants go to collect profits from the land. Servants are killed. We send more servants. They're killed. We send a member of our household, and even that one is killed. Now, if we're just looking at this, putting ourselves in the place of the landowner, that landowner is an awfully slow learner. I mean, here we keep sending more people in to their death. Now, I don't know if Einstein really said this, but he is attributed to having said this, that the definition of insanity. You've all heard this before? What's the definition of insanity? Wow, that was almost perfectly in unison. Thanks, everybody. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And we do this. We repeat patterns over and over, assuming things will change on their own. And by doing this, more are killed, stakes are raised. And we have to ask ourselves, when will we draw the line? At what point for us is the proverbial sun killed before we finally do something about it? And going back to that original interpretation, at what point do our institutions and our status quo finally become less important than grace and mercy? We heard also today Isaiah chapter 5, the song of the unfruitful vineyard. This happens very early in Isaiah's writings. This happens before Isaiah is called to be a prophet. It is a writing addressed to the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. In this song, God plants a vineyard, builds all things necessary to yield the wine. God invests in this vineyard. But then what happens? It doesn't yield. And God says, "What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes?" As people of God, people who follow God, we put a lot of faith into God. That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus tells us that our faith, if strong enough, can move mountains. But we have to remember something. We have to remember that God also puts a lot of faith into us. God expects us to take care of one another, to put aside pettiness and self-interest. This last Wednesday was the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. Francis, who wrote that well-known poem, "God, make us instruments of your peace." Where there is doubt, faith. How can we be instruments of God's grace and mercy? We are the grapes that God has planted. God has invested in us as God's people. And my question for all of us is, are we going to yield good fruit or sour grapes? Are we going to be instruments of God's grace and mercy, or are we going to sit passively on the sidelines and wait for more of God's servants to be killed? We have to care. We have the calling to care for one another and ensure one another's well-being. And so how do we, as Christians, fulfill this call? Amen.